You're listening to the podcast of Living Grace Church in Hinckley, Minnesota. We invite you to join us this Sunday at 10 o'clock as we look to the Scriptures, seeking to grow in the gospel of grace alone.
So this morning, we are going to close our series with hope. Going to talk about hope this morning. But before we go, let's pray. So, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, want to be a living sanctuary for you. God, speak to our heart this morning. We want to listen to your voice speaking to us. Lord, as we're going to speak, and I pray that, Lord, you put your word in my lips, and I decrease, you proceed. And Lord, what we need during this time is hope and Jesus. Make these times a times of sanctification, a times of repentance, and a time of joy, hope, and peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I remember hearing this story when the first president of the United States visited Haiti. It was Franklin Roosevelt. That was in 1934. During that time, many people were looking to go see a U.S. president. You know, a U.S. president came to a country for the first time, a third world country. Who would not want to see the president? And while many people were running to the airport to go see the president, to go see Franklin, and there was a poor man. He was poor, and his main job was cleaning shoes. And every day he has a wooden box in his hand and walking down the road and see people and clean their shoes. And during that time, while many people were running to the airport to go see the president, and this guy was sitting on the side of the road and cleaning people's shoes. And when he saw that, and he began to sing a song by saying, "And earth and heaven and on earth, there's no name sweeter, none that my heart prefers than the name of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for me." He continued by saying that, "What a beautiful name, no matter how great a man is, whether he is a prince or a king, no matter what name he calls, Jesus is greater for me. And the time of trial he relieves, he heals the broken spirit, he revives the courage of the most oppressed. With joy he floods the heart of the greatest sinner. He gives me hope when everything seems to be dark. And therefore, his name is Emmanuel. Glory to God." As I was thinking about that story, it is very interesting to see how many times we put our hope on things that are unsustainable. It is quite often to see how many times we put our hope in the wealth that we have. It is interesting to see how many times we put our hope in politics and the government. But the message this morning is that our hope cannot be on these things. Our hope has to be in the man we put on the cross, namely Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, and his writing lays this beautiful benediction and sort of a prayer for the church, for the people of God, and for you and I this morning. Paul says that, may the God of hope fills you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And this is the verse that we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at it a little bit closer. But before we get further, let's try to understand hope. You know, Hastoni was talking with the kids this morning about hope. Because hope, I would say, there are three kinds of hope. Wishful hope, expecting hope, and certain hope. But what we're going to see this morning is certain hope.
Yeah.
Hope is a word. So first, what is hope? How do we have hope? How do we have hope? Because hope is a word we use daily and sometimes misuse it. We hope this will happen. We hope this does not happen. The word hope in the New Testament is come from the Greek, is elpis, kind of like you see peace. Elpis mean expectation, trust, and confidence. In Hebrew, the word hope is yakar, which most often associate with waiting on God. It may be waiting on His word, promises, or action. Hope means reasonable expectation, looking toward the future with assurance, full assurance. Hope is expecting that something will happen and waiting patiently. Hope is not a feeling, but hope is more theological word. Hope is a path to God. How can this apply for you during this Advent series or during this holiday season? Well, how can we celebrate this holiday with hope when we look back into our life or even from 2020, the pain that we meant, the desolation, and the scar that still remains in our heart? How can we come here this morning and hearing about hope when it seems like things never work out right for you? Because the word itself means an expectation of something. But most of the time, our hope vanished. We don't have a lasting hope. We don't have something that is sustainable. The hope that we have often dashed completely. Paul says here in Romans 15 that may the God of hope fill you. Here in this short verse, I would like you to take a note of two important things. And the first thing that I want you to consider here is that Paul tells us that God is the source of hope. Let's look at the verse, because he says that may the God of hope. Paul tells us that God is the author and supplier of hope. He is both. He is the author and supplier. Paul is saying something here in this verse about the nature of God. Because God is not just simply giving our hope, but He is the source of it. Paul describes God. He describes who God is. Paul tells us this is the character of God that we serve. He is a God of hope. This is who He is. He is not just the inspirer of hope, but He is indeed the object of our hope. The focus here is God, because Paul, beginning with God, has the author. So, if God is the author of hope, so that tells me we cannot find hope in any other thing. And the Bible says that Christ and you, hope of glory. It is Christ who doing something in you. It is Christ doing something because it is Christ who's filling you with hope and glory to God. This hope of glory is the fulfillment of God's promise to restore his people, the church. This hope is not a wishful thought, but the confident, expectant, joyful knowledge, knowing that we are being changed by God and will one day see Jesus Christ face to face in his glory. And having been conformed to his image, may the God of hope fill you with Jesus this morning. Because Jesus is the cause of our joy. Jesus is the cause for hope. Jesus is the cause for peace. We united with God because of Jesus and his blood. We are no longer separated from God because of the cross. And now we have hope in God who is making all things new. Ephesians 2 verse 12 to 13 tells us that remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, been brought near by the blood of Christ. So when you hear a message like this morning, what do you say? Glory to God. Because having no hope and without God is not a good news. This tells me that those without God has no hope. This is mean the farther away we are from God, the less hope we have. And the closer we are to God, is the more hope we have in Jesus. So the farther away we are from God, that is when we see that Bible is not teaching in this school anymore. The farther away we are from God, that's when we see that abortion is legalized and justice arises and Gekapo is okay, right? Folks, what we need right now is hope in God and hoping that he will work all things according to his purpose, according to his plan. When we have less hope, that's when we begin to put our trust in the government and the wealth that we have. And we forget God has the source of all hope. This is Paul's prayer for you this morning. This is Paul's prayers for church, that God would keep the hope that is in us alive. That he would fill you with hope. A lasting hope. And the second thing that I want you to consider is that God's hope is based on promises. It is evident that most of the time when we put our hope in politicians or things that we have, we often lose that hope. I want to take an example. For example, like this week, I did not do it just to bring the point to my sermon, but it's happened, because I was joking about I'm not going to give my wife a gift, but she expecting that she would get something from me, you know, because it's gonna be Christmas and your wife is expecting something from you, but I say I got nothing because I did not have time to go shopping. And I say that I was joking to her. I say I'm going maybe take some all of your old plates and put it in a box for you. But she did not hoping that, you know, she was hoping she would get something. But on the night before Christmas, and I took some old board and put them in a box and wrapped it with paper and give it to her. And she was happy. She knows that she get some good gift. And when she opened the box, what she found was the hair plate that she already had. You know, and you can see the disappointed face. And then she was upset.
And the mean husband.
Yeah, and the mean husband. And then after, I went to take the gift that I bought. And she was happy. So, but the story here, sometimes when we put our hope and peoples or the government or the things that we have, things doesn't come out the way we want it or the way we expecting it. It usually hurt more than it satisfy us. So we cannot put our hope on those things. So here, Paul tells us that Jesus is our hope. And our hope and Jesus is based on the promises. Because it is impossible for God to lie. The Bible says that because in Hebrews 6:18 tells us that so that the two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that's set before us. Folks, when Jesus says that he is coming again, he is coming. This is true. When Jesus says that you are forgiven, you really are. And you don't need to look backward to keep digging at your past because you're really forgiven. The sins you have been committed because he says that you are a new creation. Keep moving forward, not look backward, looking what you've done in the past, because once you come to Christ, you are a new person. And Jesus says that, behold, I'm making all things new. And it's happening right now. It's happening right now. When the Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, it is true. Are you surprised when you hear that? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 10 verse 23 tells us that let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Church, we have to be certain and positive, knowing that we are right with God. There is no wrath upon God's people. Yes, there is a wrath upon those who reject the truth of the gospel, those who harden their heart. Hope begins by being fully assured that you are right and have peace with God. Hope is having full assurance, knowing that we have an unshakable faith, that our sins are covered, no matter how many times our hope seems to be attacked by the enemies, no matter how many times our hope may be attacked by the devil, but we know that Jesus has reconciled us to God. We know that Jesus has reconciled us right before the throne of God. Church, we got to understand that God calls us to be righteous when we have confessed our sin and we come to the cross, even when there's a backsliding, when there's been a drifting away. We need to be confident and trusting in Jesus, as he He begins the work in our life, will bring it to completion. As we are looking at this verse, this prayer closer, Paul says this: may the God of hope, the one who author of hope, may the one who has sourced it, may this God fill you with joy and peace. Remember, joy and peace were part of our series. And here, Paul talks about joy. When Paul talks about joy here, Paul is talking about an inward satisfaction of soul. An inward satisfaction of souls that will well up and delight in knowing that God, He is my God. He is my salvation. He is my rock and glory. Paul is also saying that we will feel with peace, which is peace and joy goes together. The peace he's praying and asking for is that God people will feel with inward settledness of soul. They will feel with a rest and contentment that come through the work of Jesus Christ, that come through the work of the Holy Spirit. When Paul talks about joy and peace, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And during this, it's really interesting to see how during this season, when Tony talks about joy, we see the presence of the fruit of the Spirit. And Josiah talks about joy, we see the presence of the Spirit. And here we see that the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. When Paul talks about peace and joy, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, peace, patience, kindness. Paul is praying and asking that God people would feel with the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit that is at work in our life. The joy and peace he's praying for would be the evidence of God's presence in our life. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. So that Paul says, as you believe in God, you have placed your confidence in the one who came to die on the cross for you and reconcile you with God the Father, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. We see that Paul begins the prayer with God of hope and ending with the word of hope. So the other thing that I want you to understand is this: hope is a path. Hope is a path. Hope is a path that is going to take you to tribulation and affliction. Romans 5:2-5 says that through him we have also obtained access by faith and to this grace in which we stand. We rejoice and hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So if you are pressing on and God to this goal of hope, knowing that this hope that you have in Jesus cannot be shaken. Because David says that I shall not be shaken. So meaning that everything else can be shaken, but our hope in Jesus cannot be shaken, because it came from God. God is the source of it. God wants to build a lasting hope in you. David said that he alone is my rock. And this hope, as Paul says it, we cannot be ashamed about this hope, because it's our assurance in God. Hope is an anchor of our souls. Hebrews 6:19 says that we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Anchor is something they often use in the ship or boat, and the purpose of the anchor and a ship is to keep the ship from drifting away. And the second is to add stability in the storm. And this is the very few things you need in life. This is why we need hope, because we need it to keep us from drifting away from God and add stability in our life. The Bible says that the anchor of your souls is not money. The anchor of your souls is not friends, it's not things, it's not the government. The anchor of your soul is Jesus, because Jesus is the source of hope. He is the anchor of our hope, because sometimes you see that a boat can be easily drifting away without the anchor. So have you noticed that in your life? Because sometimes it can be easy to drifting away if we have no hope in God. There are many times in our life we go through trials, through tribulation. You need this anchor of the souls to keep you stable, to keep you from drifting away. In fact, there are many times we hurt by storm, by big wind and waves that could shake our faith. And sometimes we even question God. In fact, many of you sitting here may be depressed. Maybe you may feel like you want to be done with everything. Maybe you may be wounded, hurt, bruised. And I don't know what the cause of the bruises or what the cause of the hurt. But sometimes we think that God is mad at us, that you're being paid back for your sin and you cannot repent enough, so that you got to do something. You've got to make it up to God. And sometimes you live with regrets. You live with fear. Even though you know the truth and the life. But there's something There's something in you that lacking joy and peace. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have that joy? Do you have hope in you? Because sometimes, many times we feel like that we are lost. And sometimes we don't even know what to do. We feel confused. And the Bible says that Christ is in you. Christ is giving you stability to stand. Christ is the one who giving you legs to stand. If you remain strong, even in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the storm, it's Christ is in you. It is Christ in your life flowing out of you, so that when you're looking at the cross, that you see that there is hope no matter what. When you're looking at the cross, you see prosperity. As David says that in Psalm 62, for God alone my soul waits in silence. For him come my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. For God alone, O my soul, waits in silence. For my hope is from him. He is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. O God, raise my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us because this is something that you need to, because we will be attacked. Because there, if we say that we are Christian and we don't go to tribulation, you need to ask, is everything wrong? But when these times come, that you need to remember that God is our rock. God is our hope. He is our refuge. And I like this song that says that, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drop and storm. There's a moment that will come in your life. And I pray that you will have the courage to say that He is my hope. He is my strength. He is my anchor. And I shall not be shaken. When the time comes, that remember that the suffering has to end one day. The pain that in your life has to end someday, because Jesus says it, that He will wipe away all tears, no sorrow, no pain. You don't have to mourn anymore, but you will be surrounded by the glory of the one who died on the cross for you. And it's going to be joy, peace. When I say peace, it's going to be an everlasting peace. And forever. And God Himself will dwell with His people. Now, we know that God's presence is here. But the time that I'm talking about is that where you can feel, you can touch God. And you can touch God. You say, God, are you real? And I know that each one of us looking for this moment, for this day, when we see Jesus face to face, and He will say, it is done.